my friends. It is a Ro Khan show with Anna DeVlantis. And not since Donald Trump appeared on this very program in the summer. Has anybody been on the program to defend Donald Trump until right now? Jeff Lord is contributing editor to The American Spectator, former aide to Jack Kemp and Ronald Reagan, the administration. And he's now got a book out called What America Needs, The Case for Trump. And Jeff, thank you very much for being with us. And
thanks for having me.
You know, Jeff, we got a lot to talk about today.
Nothing going on today.
Yeah,
huh?
You worry about it at all. All right. And I was just saying this. I've never seen anything like this, covered this for a very long time. Could not ever imagine a moment where a former Republican standard bearer would stand up. And this goes against the first rule of Ronald Reagan, doesn't it? Thou shalt not speak ill of another Republican. And now he's standing up and going, listen, this Donald Trump is a bad idea for America. And he laid out a pretty convincing prosecution. What do you disagree with that obviously you do, but what specifically do you disagree with that Governor Romney said today?
Gosh, where
do you begin?
How long is this show?
Yeah.
the thing that strikes me first, of course, is, 4 years ago, I mean, right there on live television, in the day on cable, and with all the videotape available now, there was Mitt Romney saying exactly the opposite of what he's now saying today about Donald Trump.
Well, Jeff, in fairness,
though.
He was a great
businessman,
right.
He was this, that, and the other thing. And now, he's a fraud and a phony and all of this kind of thing. What this says to me, this is the very epitome of what has so many people at the base level of the Republican Party furious, is that these people promise one thing, and then they get elected, and they do exactly the opposite. And, I was asked last night on CNN, because it was starting to leak that he was going to do something today, what did I think? And I said, I don't know, but I'll tell you this. If he's going to attack Donald Trump, I'll help pay his airfare.
Well, right. It's
because you think it helped.
I think this is only going to help Donald Trump. Because, this is the establishment of the Republican Party basically saying, giving a thumbs down to the voters of the Republican Party, the grassroots. I mean, how many states do we now have in? And people have made it perfectly plain what they want. And here is Mitt Romney presuming to tell these people, not only are you wrong, but I'm going to see to it that we stop you and hijack your convention from you and, pull, in essence, some sort of coup d'etat.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to fire up the base like no other.
All right. Well, let me stop you for just a second here, because one of the important things that came out of this today is this story about the New York Times editorial board sit down that board had with Donald Trump. And there are people who are now apparently it has been leaked that Donald Trump, when he was asked about the immigration thing, in the off-the-record portion of that meeting, there's an on-the-record portion and an off-the-record portion. And in an off-the-record portion, he either said directly or made allusion to the fact that he's not really going to do that. Talk about disappointing his base. That's his number one platform position, right? I mean, that's the thing that has catapulted him with that base of Republican voters that you're talking about here that like what he has to say, is that whole idea of building the wall and throwing out the people who are here illegally, right?
Yeah.
We'd all agree on that. If that exists,
absolutely.
If that tape exists.
Call me skeptical here.
Okay.
I find it very, very interesting that the New York Times, Mr. Free Press and Abide by the Rules and Protect Journalists and all that sort of stuff, I mean, this isn't about – I was reading a column today that nailed this very accurately today or yesterday by Michael Goodwin in the New York Post, that this is about a political dirty trick by the New York Times. In other words, they invite somebody in and tell them this is off the record, and then they go out there and they leak what's going on. Now, in contrast this with the Los Angeles Times and this they supposedly have video of Barack Obama at a Chicago – a party for some, extreme Palestinian activist or some such thing, which they have refused to release or even discuss for years.
Right.
What does this say about journalistic ethics and all
okay,
that?
Okay, well, let's go back to Barack Obama's the outgoing president. Let's talk about this for a second, though. If that tape exists,
To your point, I mean, I just think too bad. I mean, it's off the record. I don't believe for a second that Donald Trump is going to betray what he believes in here. I just don't believe it.
But how's he going to do it? I mean, that's the thing, is that there's no how. This is the problem that I have with this, Jeff, because you know, as I've watched him work, and he's certainly an entertaining figure, but as he has laid out key platform positions for his administration, none of which, like this 35% tax he brought up today, he's going to tax companies that move over to Mexico, whether it's an air conditioning company or a car manufacturer. They want to sell their products back. He's going to slam on 35% tax. First of all, we have treaties, right? Plus, even if you got that debt, the Congress has to okay that, not the president. Right. How is he going to do that?
Well, that's what persuasion is all about. I mean, as he has said repeatedly here, I mean, I always find it amusing that some of his critics, they're saying two things simultaneously. One, that he's an authoritarian, and two, that they're afraid that he's a deal maker and he's going to keep making deals with Congress.
Well, don't you think the deal-making part's going to make his people mad?
And what? I'm sorry?
Don't you think the deal-making part is going to be exactly what makes his base mad? Because his base wants the authoritarian. They don't necessarily want the deal-maker. They don't want a guy who's going to...
I would disagree with this. I mean, Ronald Reagan made deals. Deal-making is what the presidency is. The question is, what direction are you taking the country when you make the deal? That's the question. I mean, the Constitution is deliberately designed to make people deal with one another and cut deals. So, you know, and he in his businessman's language is saying that. But what he's saying is the businessman's version of the constitutional law scholars, you know, who talks about, you know, separation of powers and all of that kind of thing.
But that's not what he said today. But that's not what he said today in his speech today, Jeff.
What did he say?
He said, let's play this. Let's play what he said.
I've been so busy doing stuff here, I haven't heard it.
I know. Listen, let me tell you something. Jeff, for people, we all do this professionally. Holy crap, what a day. All right, hold on one second.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Let me just tell you something. You moved out. You heard 1,400 people. These people were devastated, by the way. I watched it, and they've done a great job. You've heard 1,400 people, and there's no free trade because it's a totally imbalanced. I mean, their politicians are so much sharper and smarter and streetwise than ours. I said, here's the story. Every air conditioning unit that you make, and every single air conditioning unit that you make and comes across the border into the United States, we're going to charge you a 35% tax, okay? 35% tax.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
How is he going to do that. How is he going to do that?
Well, I mean, to do it, obviously, he would have to get it through Congress. There's no question about that. I mean, he just can't unilaterally do that kind of thing. But, I mean, he's talking, you know, presidential language. We're going to do this. We're going to do that.
No, but in a moment, I'm going to find this for you, Jeff. In a moment right before that, he goes, here's what President Trump is going to do.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is that, again, he's setting up, it seems to me, a disappointment beyond disappointment. Now, again, this is about getting past the Republican primary. Do you think, now you've been around a long time, Jeff. You've seen a lot of stuff. And you know how what the rule is.
I know.
What the rule is in the primary, you run, you know, Republicans run to the right, Democrats run to the left, and then you run to the middle during the general. How does Donald Trump run to the middle and not lose what sort of marginal support he even has in the Republican Party?
Yeah, I don't know that he's going to, quote unquote, run to the middle. I mean, I think he's going to stay right where he is on things. I mean, notice, for example, something I'm not thrilled with is the funding of Planned Parenthood. And he says, you know, as long as they're doing abortions, we won't fund them. Of course, he'd have to get that through Congress as well.
Right.
But that decidedly is not an issue that is in favor with the Republican base. But he says it anyway. It is something that arguably is in favor out there with the general public. So, you know, he's not unafraid to take positions that might run against the grain here. I just think that the overwhelming sense that there is massive change needed, that a lot of people are willing to accept things that they might not ordinarily accept from a Republican politician.
What do you make of all these Republican congressmen right now? There's a number of them that are popping up, including one right here in Chicago, the 10th Congressional District of Illinois, who says, under no circumstances am I going to support him. And, you know, they're going to and may run ads against Trump as a Republican in order to secure his position. I mean, that's pretty wacky, isn't it?
And I might add, this is typical. I've seen this you know, let's remember when Ronald Reagan ran for president, and he ran in the presidential primary field. I mean, most people remember his opponent, his major opponent, which is correct, is George H.W. Bush. But he had a small band of others, you know, Senator Dole, Senator Baker, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Included in that was Congressman John Anderson from Illinois.
Right.
And John Anderson kept losing to Ronald Reagan, and he was so irritated, he went out and ran as a third-party candidate and tried to sink him.
One precinct. He won the precinct of Nancy Reagan, the precinct she grew up in the Gold Coast of Chicago. Hold on, I want to play. You know, due diligence here, Jeff. I want to play this for you so you can hear it.
Now, here's what happens, okay? As sure as you're standing here, look, they're going to call their lobbies. Oh, you got to speak to the president. But they can't speak to me. I didn't take any of their money. I don't want their money, right? So that's not going to work. Here's what's going to happen. As sure as you're here, they're going to call me up within 24 hours. They're going to say, Mr. President, do you have any second thoughts? I say, absolutely not. They say, sir, we've decided to stay in the United States. Very simple.
See, he's making it as though he can make that happen. And I just wonder, how does... I know you've already answered this question, so we don't need to litigate this.
What he can do is lend all of the weight of the presidential authority, which particularly for an incoming president is, to borrow a Trumpian term, huge.
But doesn't that scare people
in Congress?
But he's a bully on top of it. I mean, you see what he says about people.
Well, that's the question I have for you, Jeffrey. I mean, I know you support Trump, but I think so many of the things he says are so divisive and un-American in the way he criticizes Muslims, veterans, the insults he launches in the direction of people. Do you think that part of Trump is okay as a president?
Well, I think this ties in. Exactly. You know, generally we have arguments every 4 years about the economy, national security, and we're having those. But I think there's a new component this year, and that is political correctness, which I think has just been done to death. And whether it's, and I write about this in the book, whether it's the small things that, you know, Merry Christmas, you can't say this, you can't say that.
But these aren't small things. They're not small things. I mean, when you're talking about blanket statements about Muslims, blanket statements about people who've been prisoners of war,
let's talk about the Muslims, for example. I mean, what is the insult to Muslims?
Or Mexicans, for instance, they're rapists. Some of them are okay.
Now, again, he's talking about illegal immigrants. And all you have to do is check with the Border Patrol, and you can see the arrests of illegal immigrants who've committed sexual assault.
Yeah, but the vast majority of them are not rapists.
They shouldn't be in the country in the first place.
Okay, but that's a different argument. But just trying to blanket
people. Well, no, it's the same argument. I mean, you can't have people come into this country illegally and commit crimes. And that's what's happening.
Okay.
The vast majority of them are not doing that, any more so than the general population.
That doesn't help the family of Kate Steinle, right?
Oh, come on. You point to one? I mean, you can point. Think about it.
It should not happen at all. Look, this country is 100% filled with a population of descendants of immigrants. I am. You guys are. Everybody in America is. We're not anti-immigrant. I mean, that is just baloney. Donald Trump is, A, married to an immigrant, B, the son of an immigrant, and C, the grandson of immigrants. No one is anti-immigrant. The question is, how do people come in here in a legal fashion, wait their turn, and come in?
It's not the same.
That's it.
We're talking about insults. Is that okay, that part of the Donald Trump, the candidate who's eventual president?
Insults, and I'm saying I hear political correctness, and I think that's what a lot of people hear with this.
Okay.
That you're not supposed to say A, B, C, or D, because, you know, we're going to have some sort of totalitarian regime here, totalitarianism 2.0, that just says you can't do this, you can't do that, because you're going to hurt somebody's feelings.
What do you make of the David?
And let me finish with this. Mm-hmm. This has led lethally to, you know, like the Fort Hood shooting, where the Army knew that this guy was a problem and didn't do anything. So with the news reports in the days after Fort Hood, and I've looked them up, they didn't do anything because of political correctness. And you get 13 people dead in the middle of a U.S. Army base in Texas. I mean, this has got to stop.
Well, they also didn't do anything because he's innocent until proven guilty, too, and that's a problem. That's one of the problems we have with terrorism.
He was a military officer.
Right.
He was a military officer, so he's not a private citizen doing this stuff.
I understand. Listen, I'm as familiar with the UCMJ as you can imagine, but that is not that. The point is that it's very. If you're launching an investigation, and a guy actually goes off the reservation literally and does fratricide, which is exactly what that guy did. And I want to get dragged into that because that's really not one of the germane points here. But the idea the more essential issue for Donald Trump is. can a guy who has the bluster, bravado, and the abruptness, all right, and can he actually win an argument without insulting somebody? I mean, that thing, whole thing about Megyn Kelly.
Blood coming out of her everywhere. I mean, come on. This,
well,
I mean,
wait. Stop right there.
Okay.
He did not say what everybody is trying to allege that he said. I was listening to that live on Don Lemon's show. That thought never entered my mind until the next day when people suddenly began accusing him of this. I am astonished at that. I mean, I think that says a lot more about the people who heard that than it does about him.
All right, let's ask you very quickly the KKK thing. Why didn't he acknowledge immediately that he knew who David Duke was? He wrote about David Duke.
Yeah, I mean, and he said it repeatedly. I mean, I've looked him up. I found the statements. He said it in 2000. He said it a week before this interview or a few days before with Jake Tapper. He said it back in August. I mean, he was quite specific. I mean, this is one of those media things. You know, when did you stop beating your wife? I mean, so he said it five times, and he muffed the sixth time. I mean,
it was a pretty big muff. I mean, he's blaming it on an earpiece. I didn't understand what was going on.
Why isn't everybody else? I mean, when's the last time you guys denounced the Ku Klux Klan?
I do it at the start of every show. I denounce the Ku Klux Klan.
Sure.
I know, but David Duke didn't say.
I mean, see what. I mean, this is a media deal.
I think the point.
I mean, to imply that he's a bigot or dog whistling here is outrageous. I mean, and this goes to the heart of the racial politics that the left plays all the time. It's race with everything with them, and it has been since they imposed slavery on the country.
All right, Jeff, the book is called What America Needs, The Case for Trump, and he's making the case for Trump now.
Yes, he is.
And we'll just see. Although, the brokered convention, I know I'm short on time, but I got to ask you very quickly, because you worked in the Reagan White House, you've seen all that. I mean, would a brokered convention, take your Trump hat off for a second here, philosophically, could it work?
Slim chance, I think. I mean, okay. I've been to these, and the last time I saw a convention with any degree of disagreement was 1976 with Reagan and Ford.
Right.
And, you know, with all the television cameras and all of that sort of stuff in the modern age and, the, you know, everybody walking around with cell phones, I think that would be an enormous problem.
All right.
To try and get accomplished.
Jeff, you're a brave man. That's what I'm going to say about you right now. You're a brave man. All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate you being with us.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it, really.
All right. Jeffrey Lord from The American Spectator, and he's written the book What America Needs, The Case for Trump. All right. Wow. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow,
you know,
is right.
You know who we need now? Mark, I know this is all about politics today, but this is the craziest day ever. Mark McKinnon's going to join us. He's one of the guys on the circus on Showtime. And you don't think they're going to use this coming up in the next episode or two?
You think behind the scenes with the Mitt Romney speech and the reaction by Trump? Like, huge.
Huge.